The surprise announcement by Pope Benedict XVI that he will resign his office on February 28th has raised many questions about the laws surrounding the resignation of a pope. There is no doubt he can do so. Canon 332, Section 2 of the Code of Canon Law states, if it happens that the Roman pontiff resigns his office, it is required for validity that the resignation is made freely and properly manifested, but not that it is accepted by anyone. But the code does not elaborate. Before now, there was no need. Church law leaves many questions unanswered. Charles Collins spoke with Monsignor David Maria Jaeger, a professor of canon law at Rome's Pontifical University Antonianum, about the canonical issues surrounding the resignation of a pope.
Of course a pope can do this. It is, first of all, in the divine law, because no person can be forced to hold an office against his will. The ability of persons to resign their offices is part of the natural law. And indeed, the Code of Canon Law acknowledges this by referring to it. It is in Canon 332, paragraph 2. It does not even have to say that the Pope may resign his office, because this goes, this is natural, this is obvious. It only says what happens for the what is needed for the resignation to be valid. Because, of course, the Pope, unlike any other human being on earth, does not have a superior to whom to present his resignation and who might accept the resignation. So the requirements for the validity of the resignation are that the Pope decide upon it freely and manifest it properly, publicize it properly. That is all.
Was there any significance to the fact that he made this announcement during a consistory of the Congregation for the Causes of Saints?
The consistory is of cardinals. It wasn't a meeting of the Congregation for the Causes of Saints. It was a meeting of the College of Cardinals. And called for the purpose of endorsing and proclaiming the recommendations of the Congregation for the Causes of the Saints. There is, of course, a significance to that, one may say, in the sense that the law does not say what consists a proper manifestation of the Pope's free decision to resign. And therefore, it is appropriate for the Pope to do it, if he really wants to do it, in as solemn a setting as possible. And a consistory, that is a meeting of the College of Cardinals to transact the most solemn business of the Church, is the appropriate forum, no doubt, is an appropriate forum, a particularly appropriate forum.
The Pope intends to resign on February 28th, and at that point we will be in a period of sede vacante, of no Pope. What are the particular canonical issues that happen when the see is vacant?
Oh, that is very well regulated. That is regulated by a law, the latest version of which was made by John Paul II and is known by its opening words, Universi Dominici Gregis. The present Holy Father introduced in 2007 some small corrections or modifications in that law. Essentially, what happens is that all offices of heads of dicasteries, that is, heads of cabinet departments, if we translate it into secular language, all these offices become vacant, as does, of course, the office of Secretary of State. And the highest authority governing the Church in the interim is the College of Cardinals itself, which meets daily to make the decisions that need to be made and cannot be deferred until a new pope has been elected to make them. Other bodies which are needed for the functioning of the Church's supreme government, notably the law courts of the Holy See, continue in office without interruption. It is therefore, once the see is vacant, the laws I mentioned prescribe the manner in which the College of Cardinals is to be called together in conclave. That is, the meeting of the cardinals to elect the new pope, at which all cardinals who have not yet reached 80 years of age have the right and indeed the duty to participate. The conclave is called that because for the duration the assembly is cut off from all communication with the world outside the place of the conclave to ensure the tranquility, the serenity, and the liberty of the cardinals as they ponder the decisions to be made. It is important that the decision enjoy the widest support possible, which is why a qualified majority, a special majority, a supermajority of 2/3 plus 1 is necessary for the election of the new pope.
Just recently, Father Lombardi has given a press conference on the pope's announcement, and he clarified a few points. One is, of course, a lot of these sessions that would take place surrounding a pope's funeral will not take place because there won't. You know, the pope is still alive.
Thank God.
Yes. And also, for example, the pope will not participate in the conclave and, in fact, will remove himself from the area. Is this a legal question or is this a decision made by the Pope?
We lack a law so far on the status of a former pope, of someone who resigned the papacy. And it is possible that either Benedict XVI in the next few days or his successor will make such a law, because many questions must be asked. What is the proper title by which to address a former pope? What are his immunities and prerogatives? There is a question of his international standing. All of this has to be settled. It has never been settled and never been dealt with. There was never any need to deal with it. The idea that the former pope would participate in the conclave would be premised on a determination that the pope who resigned returns to being a cardinal. Far be it from me to express an opinion on this occasion, except to say that it is not obvious. And so no doubt that the Holy Father has taken the most discreet and the most appropriate course by making the decision which has been announced by now. Others will no doubt be announced in the subsequent days. That is, we are in uncharted waters, although we can be absolutely confident that Pope Benedict XVI will know how to chart them for us and, of course, for himself.